Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Madhouse Podcast. As always, I am your host, Mad Max. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about Justice League. No, we're going to be talking about Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. This is a very special episode. This is going to be our first video game series that we're going to be talking about. Now, before I move further with this, I just want to let everybody know that, yeah, it's been a while, but One of the reasons why is because I wanted to play this video game and I kind of wanted to give my overall opinions about it because this movie's kind of getting a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of flack, but a lot of, it's like a mixed bag basically. Either you love this game, you hate it. There's no real gray area in between. A lot of people didn't really like this game. And a lot of people didn't really give this game the chance that, you know, everybody else did. And everything like that. I wanted to expand this podcast channel by going into the world of gaming, and I thought what better way to start than with Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. I mean, it's arguably one of the most hyped games coming out this year, and it's the first big release of a video game this year. You know, I got it for PS5 and things like that, and I wanted to play it, and I'm not saying I won't do more gaming content, but this will probably be the first and only time that I do this where I spend all the money trying to get the game before it came out, and I couldn't do the whole review thing until it all came out. But I do plan to do more video game content in this in the future. I mean, you know, 2024 is going to be a good year. 2023 was a pretty good year. So for this podcast, you know, we did delve into sports and more TV shows and things like that. But going into 2024, we're going to probably add the video game series in here as well. So what better way to start than with Justice League killed the Suicide Squad. Now, that being said, this is going to be a spoiler review for the game. Like, if you've never played the game or don't want to spoil the whole entire thing, which I don't understand how you can spoil it now because everybody's on YouTube with the whole gaming platform and everything like that where they play the whole thing and you see the whole major story arc and everything like that. But if you don't, if you haven't played this game, or if you haven't, or if you're not interested in, you know, being spoiled by this game, then, you know, by all means, listen to my episode. But if you don't want to be spoiled in the overall storyline of this episode, then by all means, put this in your save later, put it to rest later on, or, you know, stop the episode right now, because once I get started with this, you know, I don't want to hear no things about, oh, you spoiled it for me. I was like, well, this is your spoiler warning. So anyway, Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. It takes place 5 years after the events of Batman Arkham Knight, which, in right there off the bat, I was kind of disappointed with that because I was like, well, Arkham Knight wasn't really that great of a game to end with. You know, if you ever played Batman Arkham Knight, I'll probably do that. That's going to be a whole nother episode. I'll probably do that in another episode because I got a mixed bag feeling about that one as well. But anyway, so the Suicide Squad takes place 5 years after the events of that. And the Suicide Squad, which is made up of 4 members, which is weird because in the movies and in the comic books, it's like 6. But in the game, there's 4. We have Anawe, the King Shark. We have Harley Quinn. We have Deadshot, Floyd Lawton. And we have Captain Boomerang. And I was like, well, okay, we got 2 Batman villains and 2 Flash villains. So makes sense and things like that. But so they have been dispatched to kill the Justice League because for some reason 4 members of the core at this time, 2 members of the core Justice League, Batman and Superman, have been corrupted by an alien invader by the name of Brainiac. In the early parts of the game, when I think Batman attacks the city, their first, you know, it's the first real encounter with Batman. And the first real encounter with Batman, and then we meet Flash, Barry Allen. Now, Barry Allen is part of the Justice League at this point. However, he has not been corrupted yet. And then it's in that moment that we see a little bit of what's about to happen. And then Batman kidnaps the Flash, and then later on when we see him again, he's the next one basically taking over and things like that. So Brainiac has found a way to corrupt members of the Justice League. Now, when we get to that point in the game, the Flash is the last one to be infected. Superman, Batman, the Flash, and the Green Lantern. Green Lantern in this iteration of Green Lantern is John Stewart. I thought that was cool because we haven't really seen John Stewart in any form of video game other than DLC at this point. So, that was kind of cool to see. So now it becomes the target has become for the Suicide Squad led by Amanda Waller and a very skinny looking, gangly looking Lex Luthor have been chosen to be the dispatch to Suicide Squad to kill the Justice League. And the first target is obviously the Flash. And the boss fight with the Flash is interesting. I think what makes the game interesting is the fact that you can jump between players. If you're playing co-op mode where, you play as one character and then obviously you and your buddies can play as everybody else, that's cool to do that. Now, when you're playing by yourself, you can jump through each of the characters that you're playing as. I thought that was kind of cool as well. It reminded me of Marvel's Ultimate Alliance and games like that, where you could play like a four-player co-op mode, and then you could jump through different players if you're playing by yourself and things like that. That's kind of cool. This first boss fight with the Flash is kind of interesting and everything like that. However, it's got a crazy reveal at the end of it, which is Wonder Woman reveals herself to come out of hiding to kind of see what the deal is. And her being the hero, she doesn't really work with the Suicide Squad really at all because she knows who they are and everything like that. So she used the lasso of truth to get the truth out of the Flash and everything like that. And he reveals probably one of the most haunting lines in the game when he says, "You know the truth, Diana. You're gonna have to kill us all." And honestly, Diana could have been the one to do that. But she chose not to because as the hero and as real, battle-hardened as Diana is, in the comic books or in the movies or anything like that, the character of Diana Prince is a noble character, much like Superman. And she cannot do that in this type of environment because she believes her friends are still inside there somewhere. So she kind of spends the remainder of the game trying to get them to come out and figure out how to do this and things like that. And later on, it doesn't go so well for her in that instance. And it's a haunting realization that, you kind of understand why we're the Suicide Squad, why we have to go this route. Because Brainiac's corruption is, there's no way around it. In other games and other aspects, there's a way to kind of get through it and override it, so to speak. But in this game, there's like a clear-cut, concrete way that there's no way to save the hero in this point. You cannot save anybody in this game. It's called Kill the Justice League, and we're here to do one thing and one thing only. And that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the game as we move forward. Now, the next boss fight after that is the Green Lantern. This one is a little bit more interesting because of the fact that it's not the same mechanics that we saw in the Flash boss fight. This one is a little bit different because he has the ability to fly and he has the ability to, shapeshift with the ring and everything like that. It becomes a little bit difficult. It's more different. It keeps you on your toes most of the way. Now, that's cool, like, two different boss fights, two different things and everything like that. But I think like when we get to Batman and Superman, I'll explain a little bit more, but I think they could have changed it up a little bit. It was more, it felt as if we did one fight style with the Flash, given his power placement in the same, and then a complete different fighting style for, it's a different approach for the Green Lantern because of his power and everything like that. But I felt as if they did the exact same thing for Batman and Superman. You kind of have the same approach for the Flash and for Batman, and it's a little bit kind of straightforward and everything like that, to whereas Superman and Green Lantern, because their move set is much more wider and everything like that, it's a little bit different. And that was a bit disappointing in my opinion. Like, the mechanic was there and everything like that. Like, if anybody who's ever played the Batman Arkham series, you know that when you go into a boss fight against any of the villains, it's a different approach every single time, especially with Mr. Freeze in Arkham City. At that point, you cannot attack him with the same move because he know Ooh, excuse me. He knows kind of like your next move before you do it and everything like that. That's interesting. Ra's al Ghul is a more of a dream sequence and everything like that. Bane is a little bit harder in some cases and things like that. So, I mean, with Rocksteady knew what they were doing with the Batman games, but for some reason, when they drift off into something else, it kind of goes all out the window, and I don't understand why. So after the Flash, we go to the Green Lantern. After Green Lantern, and now the way Green Lantern goes out, after you've defeated him and everything like that, there's this great moment where, so right after that, Deadshot takes his wrist cannon and blows a hole through Green Lantern's head. He basically puts a bullet in his head and it kills him and everything like that. And I thought that was a great moment, but like, they don't show anything. Like, it would have been cool to kind of see the blood splatter on his face, but they don't show that, and then when they kind of cut away from Green Lantern, his body, you don't see the bullet hole. And I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense. But there's this great moment where King Shark takes the power ring, the Green Lantern power ring, and tries to put it on. He eventually does get it on the very tip of his finger, and the suit comes over him and everything like that. It all kind of comes to him and everything like that, and he recites the Green Lantern oath, bright as day, black as night. And I thought, man, that was really cool. And all of a sudden, this big ass fucking shark materializes from the water, and it takes a chomp out of the Brainiac skull ship. And I was like, why? Well, it doesn't take a chunk out of the ship. It takes a chunk out of the force field that it's built and everything like that. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, that's cool. And then you realize that the ring is starting to take over his mind a little bit, to the point where Boomerang and Deadshot and Harley are trying to get the ring off of him. And that was kind of cool. That was a cool little moment there. And then another thing that was cool was that when King Shark is given, he's saying the oath, and at the end of it, he goes, "Beware my power." He says King Shark's fury or some shit like that. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. I don't know if it's corrupting his mind, because it doesn't really corrupt. That ring doesn't really corrupt. And then another thing, like, I know a lot of people were pissed off that he just puts the ring on and is able to wield that power. And if you know anything about the Green Lantern ring, it has to choose you. It doesn't, you can't just take it off somebody, put it on, and then that's how it works. But it doesn't really do that and things like that. I know a lot of people were pissed off at that. I kind of let it go because that moment was kind of cool. When this big ass shark comes out of the water and everything like that, and it attacks the force field in the air. And I was like, see, that's cool. It's entertaining, for some aspects. So that was really cool. And then the next boss fight is Batman, and this is probably the most emotionally charged one. Now, there's a little bit of a mixed bag with a Batman reveal, because Kevin Conroy, who voices Batman in this role, in this game and everything like that, Kevin Conroy, he's voiced Batman in almost every form of media that you could possibly find. He's been Batman in the animated series, in the video games, in a lot of the animated films. He was even a live action Batman in one of the Flash episodes when they go to other dimensions and things like that. It was really cool to see him in this game for one last time. Now, sadly, Kevin Conroy passed away last year, and this was supposed to be the last moment. This was supposed to be his last iteration as Batman, because this was just something that, it was kind of going to go away for and everything like that. But I know a lot of people on TikTok, on YouTube, on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people were pissed off because of the fact that, in the game, he's not, it's not the same bat. It doesn't feel as if it's the same Batman in Arkham Knight that we saw in Suicide Squad. Now, there's a great moment at the beginning where they kind of break into the Batcave. This is after the moments with the Flash. This is right before the Flash gets corrupted. There's a great moment in the game where they find their way into the Batcave because, they need the information and they find all these videos on how to stop the Justice League because obviously Batman is the world's greatest detective. There's this great moment where he leaves behind a video diary and he's like, "If you're watching this, it means I didn't make it." And it's this great, and you think he's talking to like whoever finds it, but in reality, Nightwing, Robin, Oracle, and Jason Todd are the ones he left behind. Basically, he's like, a lot of people thought it was a callback to Gotham Knights, but that's a completely separate video game. I might do a video on that one as well. But that was kind of a cool moment for that. And then we get to the boss fight with Batman. And it's emotionally charged because this is the end of it. And by the fact that we've already killed the Flash, we've already killed Green Lantern, that Batman was going to be next. And the fact that it was Harley that, kind of, puts the bullet in his head between his eyes. A lot of people thought that that was a bad way for Batman to go. I honestly thought that was a little bit more sad because of the fact that if you pay attention to the game, like in some iterations, Batman and Harley do work together. Like in Injustice, in the Injustice game, part one and part two, they're actually on the same side. Now, a lot of people tie the Injustice series and the Arkham series together. Now, if Suicide Squad takes place within the same realm of Arkham Knight, then it has to take place in the same realm as the Injustice games. So there is a little bit of a back. There is a little bit of a connection there between Harley and Batman, and obviously, if it takes place during, if it's the same Harley that we got in Arkham Knight, then it's the same Harley we're going to see in Arkham City. Now, Arkham City had the spinoff called Harley's Revenge, where she goes after Batman herself and everything like that, and she almost gets away with it had it not been for Tim Drake, but leading up to the moment where we've beaten Batman and we're about to kill him, Harley kind of gives like this speech about, and everything like that. And a lot of people say the scariest thing about Batman is not his presence or his aura, is when he smiles or laughs, because you never see that. And there's this moment where Harley and Batman kind of come face to face, and Harley's kind of giving this speech. She takes out her pistol and points it at Batman. And that's the only thing I hate about these games. Like when they off a character, they never show it. Like you see the camera kind of is in front of Harley looking at her, and the gun goes off, and then that's it. They kind of just walk away. And then like when the camera pans around, you see Batman's body there. And I was like, huh, that's, they didn't show that either. But anyway, there's this moment where Batman is looking at Harley, and his eyes are purple because he's corrupted by Brainiac, and he's like covered in blood and everything like that. And it almost seems as if he's got a smirk on his face, like he knows, like there's still a little bit of Bruce in there, like it's like he knows that. It's like the old saying goes, like from The Dark Knight, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain. And I was blown away by that scene. There's a lot of layers to that scene, and there's a lot of emotion there. Like I said, a lot of people didn't like how Batman went out in this game and how we killed Batman, and this is the last thing that Kevin Conroy is going to be remembered for, and things like that. A lot of people didn't like that, but I mean, you got to be able to roll with the punches. And I mean, if you look at it from that point of view, like from that aspect of it, it is kind of emotional because Kevin Conroy's last outing as Batman comes at the price of Batman is now the villain. Batman is now the bad guy. And I'm pretty sure that's not the way Kevin Conroy would have wanted his character to end, but I mean, it makes for a good, it makes for, it, I understand why they would do it storytelling wise. Like, I think it would have benefited more if Kevin Conroy was still with us, you know, because you could fix that later or you could do something different in the next one. But because Kevin Conroy, you know, is no longer with us, it is very sad that the way, you know, we've lost one of our childhood heroes and everything like that, especially for me. You know, I grew up with the Batman the Animated Series and, you know, Mask of the Phantasm and Batman Beyond and, you know, the Batman shows of the 90s and things like that. So it was kind of sad to see that. It was sad to see when, you know, this is possibly going to be the last time we hear Kevin Conroy voice the Batman and things like that. I just wish that the death scene was a little bit more elaborate rather than just a straight bullet to the head. Now, I've noticed that every Justice League member is killed by a specific member of the Suicide Squad. Like, I honestly thought it would be the Flash to kind of be the one to kill the Flash. The Flash's death scene should have been the one with the connection there is more with Boomerang. Like, when that fight scene sets up, the way they set up that fight scene, that first boss fight, you know, you see him. He's got Amanda. Captain Boomerang has Amanda Waller's phone, and he's on like Facebook Live or something like that, and he's broadcasting the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, the Flash comes in, and I was like, "See, that's a great moment because you're having your arch nemesis go against each other." See, that's what I was kind of going to go with. And then Green Lantern is mouthing off, and he's kind of getting under the skin of Deadshot. That's why Deadshot offs him. And then Harley being the one to off Batman was a little bit disappointing. But then again, the Joker is dead in this universe because this is 5 years after the events of Arkham Knight. And, you know, obviously the Joker's been dead for a little bit longer than that. And it was something to behold. And then in the final fight scene, the final boss fight is obviously Superman because, you know, when you're the champ, everybody's trying to bring you down. And everything like that. Now, one thing that happens before this, now, after the fight with Green Lantern, they try to launch there's a hole in the force field that leaves the Brainiac ship exposed, and Amanda Waller tries to send a nuke to go after it. And you can hear over the radio that they're about to kill us all. But I was like, wait a minute, this early on in the game, why would they kill us all right here and there? And I was like, okay, this makes sense. But I was like, we still got a lot more game to play. So why would they end it just like that? And of course, I was like, yeah, there's no way this is going to work. And then all of a sudden it doesn't because you see the nuke go into the force field and it's about to hit the Brainiac ship and all of a sudden it just stops. And I was like, what the hell? And then you see the red cape and the big S. And I was like, of course, he'd be the last line of defense if somebody were to breach that barrier and things like that. So that was kind of cool. And then right after the Batman boss fight, Amanda Waller is she's got an ankle. They go to the Hall of Justice and they're trying to figure something out. At the Hall of Justice, Wonder Woman shows up and she goes into a bare knuckles fist fight with Superman. And it almost seems as if, you know, she's gonna do it. She's gonna be the one to stop him. But then, you know, what's crazy is that Harley, everybody during every boss fight, we get more and more moments between the Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman. And it's like, all right, there's something growing there. Like you think she's gonna be like you think they're gonna be able to put their differences aside and we're gonna do this. But unfortunately, because of this fight between Wonder Woman and Superman, Wonder Woman actually dies in that moment. And this is real somber moment. It's a real somber moment. In the game where, you know, when Wonder Woman dies, she kind of gives off this little speech with Harley there and all of them four there. She goes, no matter what happens, finish it. He goes, maybe I was wrong about you guys and everything like that. And I was like, wow, you know, and everything like that. And then she kind of her death is much more dramatic than anybody else's death because I think it's because of the fact that she's still a hero. She died fighting rather than her being corrupted by Brainiac. She dies fighting, obviously, the man that she loves and, you know, these people that she couldn't save. And it's this very kind of heartbreaking moment because it also reminded me of Injustice 2 when after you've beaten the game, there's this little bit of a somber moment between Batman and Supergirl when he says I couldn't save him. And Batman tells her, he goes, my biggest regret is the fact that I couldn't save him. I couldn't save my friend Clark. And I was like, wow. And then Wonder Woman kind of dying, at the feet of the Suicide Squad, and them kind of being a little bit, I don't want to say teary-eyed, but you can see the emotion on their face. Like, holy shit, if what chance do we have when not even Wonder Woman can stop Superman and everything like that? And I was like, wow. And then it's in that moment that they have no choice. But yes, us combined are more than a match for Superman, which in reality you kind of are, because they go to the Batcave once again and they got all that gold kryptonite that they could find, and their suit gets a little bit upgraded there and everything like that. They got all the daggers and everything like that, and that was kind of cool. So when we set up for this final fight with Superman, it goes accordingly. It took me like a good like two or three tries to kind of get through Superman. Like Batman was a little bit harder. Batman's probably one of the hardest ones, but Superman, for some reason, I think because he flies and because we jump through a lot of places in Metropolis, the fight scene was a little bit more technical and a little bit more, it had me on the edge of my seat. Like I had to do it a few times in order to get through it. But so we finally beaten all of the Justice League has been defeated, and then it's in that moment, there's this great little moment where they're gonna do this like fucking Ninja Turtles high five, and they all freeze, and all of a sudden you see Brainiac revealed. Now Brainiac's design in this one is much different than the Injustice Brainiac, and much different than any Brainiac we've ever seen in any other film and any other iteration of him. It's not the same Brainiac from the old cartoon with the robot. It's not the same alien design that they had in Injustice 2. This is something a little bit more sleeker and a little bit more kind of scarier, a little bit. Like when you see him for the first time, like holy shit, he was creeping me out. He looked like one of those bugs, from man, he looked like something I knew. I had it on the tip of my tongue. Like he looks like one of the aliens from fuck. He looked very familiar. Like I've seen that design before. I couldn't put my finger on it, and I know I'm gonna figure it out later, and it's gonna piss me off that I'm not gonna probably get it in this episode. But he looked very familiar, but it just looks different, and it looked a little bit sleeker. It looked a little bit cheesy at times, and to say the least. And then the final fight scene at the end of the game is when you fight Brainiac, with the team and everything like that. But Brainiac's got an ace up his sleeve. He's got all the powers of the Justice League now, and I was like, what the fuck? And everything like that. So he turns into the Flash, and now the Flash is back, and he's got the little blue suit and all the other things. And that was another fight scene that was kind of hard for me. I was like, fuck, man, how am I gonna do this? And it takes a while to figure out, but after once you die like four or five times, you kind of get the hang of it and everything like that. I legit wanted to quit. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I legit wanted to quit during the Brainiac fight. I was like, fuck this, I'll do this one more time, and then I probably won't do it again. But like, it's like every time I said that, I get closer and closer. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna fucking beat this guy, and I finally did. And they finally get to him. So the whole time that we're trying to find how to stop Brainiac, Lex Luthor and Amanda Waller have come up with a way to do it, and they're using kind of his neurology to kind of kill him. That's the only way to kill him as a being, and everything like that. However, at the same time, they've also discovered that he's been taking worlds from other dimensions. That's why there's a lot of aspects of him that are still not incomplete. And like when they go to another version of Earth, they go to Earth 1, Metropolis is still intact. They go to Earth 2, Brainiac's invasion has already begun because he's kidnapped the Justice League already. So it's like, fuck, man, how do we stop him? And we jump back between Earth 1 and Earth 2 so many times that you forget that we're in another dimension at one point. And I was going to mention that earlier, but I was like, no, that doesn't really serve a purpose until the very end of the game. So we went through all this shit. The Suicide Squad kills the Justice League. That's the name of the game, right? And then we fight Brainiac at the end, right? And then we do all that shit. We do all this other things and everything like that. We finally reached the end of the game. It was heartbreaking at some points. It was difficult to say the least. We thought we were going to lose people in the game. We thought we were going to, get somewhere. We thought there was going to be somebody was going to have an ace up their sleeve. We thought something, there was going to be twists and turns everywhere. And then at the end of the game, it's revealed that, okay, you've killed Brainiac number one. There's still 12 more out there that we got to go get. Like, fucking hell. You're telling me that we went through all this fucking trouble just to kill one Brainiac, and now we got to kill like a dozen more and go through this shit again? I'm like, Jesus fucking hell. What the hell? Why end the game like that? Like, when we beat Injustice 2, when you beat Brainiac, because like at the end of that game in the story mode, you have to beat Brainiac twice, once with Batman and once with Superman. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense because Superman has the strength and the power to kind of go toe to toe with him. And then Batman obviously is a master of hand-to-hand combat. And I was like, Jesus fucking hell, why set us up for failure? Why put us through all this shit and then realize when we get to the end of the game, we're not done yet? And I was just like, wow. That was disappointing to me. Like, we gotta go kill more, and then it's like, yeah, there's a kill list, and I'm like, dude, come on. Like, how much worse can we get at this point? I'm like, I didn't like that ending because when a game ends, if you're gonna leave you, if they don't, games shouldn't leave you hanging for another one, unless you're looking at a trilogy, like unless it's like Mortal Kombat or what's another game? Like, games shouldn't do that. Games should not have an open-ended ending because it's like you can interpret however you want to. Just what's wrong with just ending the game? Like, okay, we win. Everybody goes back to jail now. So it's like, okay, like the Suicide Squad, like the movie. Yeah, we saved the world, but you're still gonna go back to jail. So it's like, what difference does it make? We're still back at square one. You did your job, you get 10 years off your life sentence back in the cell. So it's like, come on, like why can't we just end the game? Why does it gotta be this open-ended ending? And everything like that. Now, during the credits, there's this special tribute to Kevin Conroy. The Oracle, Barbara Gordon, if you don't know who that is, gives this speech about Batman after he has already passed away. Now, in a lot of ways, from a gaming standpoint, she's talking about Batman in the game. But from an audience standpoint, like fans of the game and everything like that, it's a tribute to Kevin Conroy. That was probably the most emotional part. That was more emotional than his death scene early in the game. Because of the fact that, we all knew by the time this game had come out, Kevin Conroy had already passed away. And we kind of already knew that this was probably going to be his last outing as Batman. And, we saw that coming in the long run. Now, I honestly thought that his outing as Batman in Arkham Knight was the better send-off, you know what I mean? Like, that would have been the perfect way to end it right then and there. But, he still did voiceover works for some of the animated films that come out since then and everything like that. So for them to kind of give him this type of tribute now, I thought was great. This was really, really sad. It was really emotional. It had everything you needed to kind of say goodbye to our fucking childhood hero, like I said earlier. And I thought it was the only way to kind of end the game on a high note, but it wasn't really a high note. It was more like a low note because of the fact that Kevin Conroy is no longer with us. And it's like, damn, the game kind of kicked us in the nuts at the end, and then now it want to kicks us while we're down to remind us that, yeah, this is probably gonna be the last time we see Kevin Conroy as Batman. And it's like, fuck, man, way to pour salt in the wound, and things like that. Overall, I think this game could have been a whole lot better. The graphics were a little bit, even this is PlayStation 5, you know what I mean? Like, the PS5 was just so far ahead as far as graphics. Like, I don't understand how Insomniac can dominate, like, Marvel is still dominating the video game series because not only was the Spider-Man trilogy so good as far as, graphics and storytelling, but, Guardians of the Galaxy was okay. Marvel's The Avengers was fucking garbage. And then I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they do with Wolverine. So I want to see what that is. But for some reason, ever since Arkham Knight, DC hadn't really had a game that really stood the test of time, and everything like that. Because Arkham Knight came out like in what, 2017? And we haven't had a DC release in quite a while, They had the Batman, the Tall Tales, and They've had like off-brand games and things like that, but never a canonical game like this. So when it was announced that Suicide Squad was getting their game, and then you saw like the teaser trailer for it, I was like, wow, that looks pretty good. And then Kevin Conroy's ultimate passing was, unfortunate passing was, kind of took us all by surprise and everything like that. It was just, it was just apparent that, when DC, usually when DC came out with a game, like when Gotham Knights came out, that had all the potential to kind of be an amazing game because you have the teaser opens with Bruce Wayne's death. And then you have the four remaining members of the Bat family, Nightwing, Robin, Red Hood, and Batgirl, kind of carrying on this mantle and kind of carrying the legacy moving forward. And then that game ultimately was a piece of shit from that kind of standpoint. And it's like, wow. And then like there's a little bit there was a little bit of a rumbling that Suicide Squad was going to be the same thing. And it kind of was in a certain way. But I think the gameplay was a lot better. The graphics were a lot better. The storyline was a lot better. And I think even though Suicide Squad, in my opinion, was like a B plus game to begin with, I thought it was 10 times better than what we got with Gotham Knights. I'll do more of a Gotham Knight in another episode, like I said before. But anyway, Just Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League was an okay game. I enjoyed it for what it was. Yes, there were problems with the mechanics. Yes, there are problems with the overall storyline. Yes, there's problems with the graphics and everything like that. Yes, it has its problems, but there's not too many games that are going to be perfect. Like we're never going to be able to top what we got with Injustice 1 and 2 or Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. We're never going to be able to do that again. Now, I'm not saying that Rocksteady and DC Entertainment are not capable of doing something like that. I just think that that was peak DC gaming, and we're not there yet. We got to have a little bit of stumbles and everything like that before we get there. I enjoyed Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League for what it was, and I think a lot of people should enjoy it for what it was rather than what their expectations were. If your expectation is a little bit too high, you're setting yourself up for massive disappointment. My expectations for this game were going to be mid because of what we got with Gotham Knights. I had the highest expectation of Gotham Knights because it was going to be the Court of Owls storyline. And when I was disappointed with that. Now, I didn't know the storyline going into this. It was just kill the Justice League. I was like, okay, they've been corrupted by somehow, and then we're going to go from there. The aspect that Diana or Wonder Woman was the one who was in hiding this entire time and then comes in to save us, that comes in to kind of be the hero to save us, I thought was a little bit far-fetched. To be honest, that should have been Batman. Because think about the impact. Like, if you look at the Diana storyline throughout the entire game, it was kind of emotional seeing her being like, I'm not trusting the Justice League. I can save my friends. My friends are still in there. And then everything like that. Then she dies towards the end. Imagine if that was Batman. That would have been such an emotional roller coaster of a game from a character standpoint because of the fact that you're trying your best not to give up. And then in your last moment, you realize there's nothing left of your friend and you have no other choice. So seeing Batman die at our feet like that would have been much more emotional than anything we'd ever seen before. And the fact that it's voiced by Kevin Conroy would have been like the cherry on top, and I think it would have been a lot better. I'm not saying it was disappointing what we got. I just think if you want to make it better, that should have been Batman and not Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's look and design was really cool. Her shield had the kryptonite on it and everything like that, and she was powerful as fuck to fight all those guys the way she did, and unfortunately it was just the combined might of Brainiac and Superman was too much for any one person to handle, and things like that. But I don't know, man. A lot of the game, there's room for improvement, but overall, this was a pretty good game. It wasn't as disappointing. I know a lot of people were disappointed, but it wasn't as bad as a lot of people say it was. But my whole thing is that if you play the game for what it is, you'll never be disappointed. And this was just supposed to be another iteration, another DC game that they were trying to get on this platform, that they were trying to get over. And, they want you to not look at the past because I think they saw their mistake with Gotham Knights and they kind of improved it with Suicide Squad. Now, moving forward, I don't know if there's anything else that's going to come out that's going to be something similar to this. Why we haven't gotten like a Superman game or a Flash game or like another superhero game that is not Batman, you know, like a solo game is anybody's guess. Same thing with, you know, Marvel. We always get like a Spider-Man game. Guardians of the Galaxy was okay for what that was, and it was a cool little way to kind of not get trepidatious and not get, you know, not get, you know, sidetracked by anything like that. But it's like we have all these superheroes that could benefit of getting their own game. You know what I mean? So who knows what the future holds for us as far as DC video games, but you know, we'll see what happens. And yeah, like I said, overall this was an okay game. It wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't a good game. It was a major improvement from Gotham Knights, but it's not, I wouldn't put it on the same level as like the Arkham City, Arkham Asylum or Injustice 1 or Injustice 2, but you know, who knows? You know, maybe we'll get there again eventually with another game, but this is right now, this was okay. But that's going to go ahead and do it for today's episode. If you like the episode, be sure to follow the podcast on all podcast outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Play, Odyssey, Reddit, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Be sure to follow the podcast on all social media outlets, Instagram and X, the Madhouse 21. Let me know what you guys thought about Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. Did you like it? What did you like about it? What did you didn't like about it? Whatever the case may be, let me know. Instagram and X, the Madhouse 21. Be on the lookout for more episodes as they come out. We do got a few movies coming out this week. Like I said, I am going to be expanding into the world of video games as well this year for 2024. The Super Bowl is not this weekend, but next weekend. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for anything and everything that comes out of this podcast. And of course, as always, be sure to embrace your inner madness.